Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 12. And this can be found on the Church Bibles on page 1027. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's make sure this is on. Bah, humbug. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough. Bah, humbug. And don't be cross. Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas, out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time for you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? A time for finding yourself driven to madness by non-stop adverts from the moment the curtain goes down on Halloween? Stop crying at John Lewis, people. Bah, humbug. A time for eating non-stop whilst having to deal with the in-laws and blood relations you have to grimace at. Bah, humbug. A time for having to listen to the Pogues, Shaking Stevens, and may heaven forbid, Mariah Carey, ad nauseam. Bah, humbug. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Bah, humbug. I can see what everyone's thinking. Finally, he snapped. Thanks, people. Don't panic, I've not done that just yet. I am partially quoting the slightly angry rantings of Ebenezer Scrooge there. For Merry Christmas! It is Christmas time, after all, and I saw some of you nodding during my little moment of drama then. For I was first given this passage and began rubbing my hands together in slightly sadistic glee. Ah, a Christmas passage. Wonderful! Finally, a chance to vent my frustrations with all the festive season has to offer. From the overconsumption to the endless commercialism to the forced joviality to the ever-long endurance of family arguments, people trying to get me to wear those irritating Christmas jumpers. Oops. I can now feel a warden's eyes burning into the side of my head. I'm entering rant mode here. And when I'm in rant mode, I'm not exactly the most jovial of people, and quite frankly, my speech can become something of which I need to repent. It also has me sounding a bit more like the fellow I was quoting at the start of this. I begin losing sight of the bigger picture. For example, that consumption, whilst many people are being gluttonous, especially me with the tin of heroes, is also some people providing the most vulnerable with what could be their only hot meal of the year. That endless commercialism brings smiles to the faces of many, young and not so young alike. The fourth duality, well, newsflash, people can be happy. I know it seems astonishing in these times. And family arguments and breakdown do exist, I know more than most, but that is not universal. And it can provide a chance for healing, for unity. And as for those irritating Christmas jumpers, I'll confess, they're not my cup of tea. Don't kill me, Sarah. But you lot wearing them do look quite spectacular. It raises many pounds for a good cause and is testament to hard work, generosity and kindness that is impossible to rant about. And I mention this for the following reasons. Luke chapter 2, verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went up to his own town to register. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. He went there with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and expecting a child. And so it begins. Last week we saw this story presented in, quite frankly, the most berserk and glorious way I've ever seen in my life, and we've heard it countless times, many of us. But think how often it gets lost in amongst everything else, the things that had me entering rant mode. But rant mode, as said, brings darkness. As I alluded to, my speech is something I need to repent of once I am out of it. We have before us, the readings ahead of us, something that bring light eternal to the Christmas darkness that the additional trappings of Christmas can sometimes see us in. Case in point, Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Another thing that can catch us at Christmas is the bug of perfection. And it's also something, ironically, that has me going into rant mode. Christmases have been plagued by tears in my own household before because it all must be perfect. Everything must run smoothly, the food must be cooked brilliantly, the presents must be well received, everyone must be happy, otherwise, disaster. Of course, how often does Christmas run smoothly with there being no problems whatsoever? The answer is, at best, rarely. The stress is often months long for something that's only day long. Yet, look at Mary. I have my doubts it would have been a particularly fun time. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Baby's on the way, into the stable she went to give birth, and so the child was born. Now, I've not given birth myself, but I'm told it's a relatively trying process. Doing so in a stable with animals for company after a lengthy donkey ride, I imagine is an even more trying process. She'd have been well within her rights to demand that there be a room at the inn, or tell Joseph to hop to it and find somewhere where she didn't have to have cattle mere metres from her newborn son. But there she was, hardly perfect surroundings, but a perfect child was still born. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The Savior is born, the Savior of all of us. Verse 12. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This here is the God of the universe, the Almighty, the everlasting, ever-loving Lord, as a helpless baby in a manger with barnyard animals for company. We see how far he has come down to be our Savior, to save us all from ourselves and this world from our frankly appalling stewardship. I bring you good news of great joy, 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 great joy, good news of great joy that our Saviour, Christ the Lord, descended so far and will descend further to give us everything. And I looked at this passage and began to have a bit of a moan. It became difficult to enter rant mode when thinking about the smiles on the faces from the recipients from our Christmas Jumper Sunday donations and all the other donations of the various projects that I know go on. Looking at all the hard work, do quite frankly how fabulous some of you all look wearing your jumpers, how can I have a bit of a moan when confronted with that? And how could I have a bit of a moan with the good news of great joy? Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, saying, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Glory to God. The great company of heavenly hosts, bringing light to the darkness. For where there may be extra trappings of this world around Christmas, yes, there can be darkness. But it's fair to say that we have the light that can bring out to it. Jesus' light, our Saviour's light, casts out darkness. Be that light. Don't do what I did when starting this and go bumbling off into rant mode. Don't do what Scrooge did and start getting upset about monetary costs unless you fancy a rather disturbed Christmas Eve. Remember that light. Turn now in the Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. It is adjacent to our reading today. Not part of it, I know, but still turn nonetheless. I want you all to read with me Mary's song, commonly called the Magnificat, the Magnificent Magnificat, upon finding out she was pregnant with Jesus and was going to be part of the Lord's plan. All of you, read with me, I'll start us off. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and the descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. This, that, is the light you have. Mercy, mighty deeds, feeding those who are hungry, humbling those who are oppressed, who are proud, and so much more. From the overconsumption, the light you can bring is donations to food banks or those who need it, especially in these times. Same applies for that endless commercialism. Be aware of it, know what it tries to do, but let it motivate you to be generous. The forced duality and family arguments, and boy do I know this, but you still have Jesus behind you. Even when things are tough, he is there. You know the light you can have, you can have, in him. And as for those irritating Christmas jumpers, they are not for me. But you lot look great. You've done yourselves proud, and think of the smiles on the faces of those who receive those much-needed donations. And if none of that does it for you, you moody so-and-sos, verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. For even our old friend Ebenezer saw its true meaning eventually. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that truly be said of us, of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone, and let us pray. Lord, I pray your blessings on all who need it this Christmas. May we May we, as your people, be the shining Christmas light, bringing forth the good news of this season. As we remember you in generosity, in joy, in happiness, and in our Christmas jumpers, keep the darkness from our door with your light. We pray in Jesus' name. May God bless us, everyone. Amen.